Janae and Gola Jr., the podcast.
Your own people sometimes that come in and sabotage you, try and steal your joy, but we're not going to let anybody steal your joy today. It's Janae and Gola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Gola Jr., Janae Agwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Because, Janae, as we have mentioned right now, while there is a lot of news going on around the out here with Doug Peterson and the Eagles, we're going to talk to Brian Westbrook here in a second, hopefully former Philadelphia Eagles running back, about where this franchise go. We'd be remiss if we didn't congratulate the Cleveland Browns on finding a way to win a playoff game in the most dramatic fashion this weekend. So we want to make sure we celebrate that first and foremost correctly.
And most importantly, do you remember what my middle name is? You said it multiple times when you're coming from break.
Joy.
There we go. Okay, yes. Progress.
Listen, come on. I'm a slow learner, but I am a learner nonetheless. Now, Chiney, before we get back to celebrating all things Cleveland Browns, and I think continuing to explore some of the differences in broadcasting, we're going to talk to Aqib Talib in a little bit, who's been a voice in the booth that has not done it the traditional way, and I think it's fascinating the way that he's gone about bringing a different sound to a place that could probably use it. But right now, we're delighted to be joined on the phone by former Eagles running back Brian Westbrook, with his two-time Pro Bowler and a guy I grew up watching in that Eagles backfield for so long. Brian, we appreciate the time today. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well, Brian, and I'm curious to hear from you, because obviously the news today has come down that the Philadelphia Eagles have parted ways with their head coach in Doug Peterson. Was this something that, for you as a former player who still sees and watches this team, was this a surprise for you?
You know, it was a bit of a surprise. You know, we kind of heard the rumblings over the last couple of days, but, you know, last Monday, we saw a press conference with Howie Roseman, the GM, and Doug Peterson, and it seemed like they were working together to move this team forward and figure things out. And kind of as the week went on, there were even more rumblings and reports that the quarterback Carson Wentz and the franchise quarterback Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson weren't necessarily seeing eye to eye, and that there seemed to be a fracture in their relationship. And, you know, it was kind of tough to see the Eagles as an organization moving forward with both Doug and Carson there. And then I kind of got the report yesterday from Tim McManus as well as Chris Mortensen that may be on the hot seat. And that kind of led them to the meeting today between Jeffrey Lurie, the Eagles owner, as well as with Doug Peterson, to try to figure out things and get some answers as far as moving forward as a franchise.
And you highlighted something very important, Brian Westbrook, two-time Pro Bowler and also member of the Eagles Hall of Fame, here with us on Janae and Golick Jr. You mentioned something that was really interesting, and it's a good point of distinction. Both Doug and Carson moving forward, at least one of them probably would have to separate based on what we had been hearing in those reports. But what does this mean now? Because they've chosen who's got to go, right, when it comes to Doug Peterson. What does it mean now, Brian, when it comes to Carson Wentz in the future?
Well, it seems like Jeffrey Lurie, the owner, I was just listening to his press conference, that he feels that, you know, Carson had a down year, that one of his first 4 years were very good, and that this year, according to Jeffrey Lurie's comments, that he compared it to what Peyton and Ben Roethlisberger did in their fifth year, and they had down years, which I kind of, you know, disagree with as far as the stats go. But at that, he just feels as though Carson has had a down year, and that the new coach, the new staff that will come in, will be able to salvage Carson, kind of fix him and be able to play and bring out the best in Carson Wentz in 2021.
Brian, I'm curious for you, because Carson Wentz, this coaching staff, Doug Peterson, it came in a lot of people's minds down to this idea of losing the locker room, the decisions he made with the quarterback position during the Eagles' final game against the Washington football team, benching Jalen Hurts late in that game, saying he wanted to get Nate Sudfeld time. As someone who spent a lot of time in an Eagles uniform that knows the pressure that comes with playing in that city, how much do you think something like that did affect Doug standing in the locker room with guys on that team?
You know, I think it did affect it. You know, if I'm a player on that team, I would be very disappointed, because I know how hard it is to get to week 17 and still be able to play. And if I work my butt off to be able to get to week 17 and then push myself to play through whatever I was dealing with through the year, we want to go out there and win. Now, as far as the people in the locker room, you know, the team was just 4-11-1. So they weren't a very good football team. In order for them to be better next year, they would have to flip that locker room anyway. They would have had to change out those players. So to me, Dove still would have had time in the offseason, OTA time, to be able to bring that locker room back together if they were able to keep Doug as the head coach. So I think he probably would have lost him for the last game of the season. But if you move forward to the springtime and the OTAs, mini camps, I think Doug would have had the opportunity to bring that team back together, especially with a lot of brand-new players on that roster.
Chinne Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr., and Brian Westbrook, former Eagles running back here with us on Chinne and Golic Jr. Now, speaking of that locker room, it's usually you want your game, your actions to do the talking. Instead, we heard a lot of talking, whether it was Doug Peterson or Carson Wentz. There were issues and drama there, but then you did see, you know, points of leadership and even just emotion about their attachment when I'm talking about Zach Ertz crying almost in the final game, Jason Kelce stepping up and being that vocal leader when it came to saying we have to hold this locker room down. Moving forward for the Eagles, what do you think can help them, can fix this narrative?
Well, they're going to have to get a whole new culture in there. Obviously, they're going to get a new coach, and he'll bring his culture in there. But most importantly, and you know, this just goes, and go look across the NFL and look across even the teams that are in the playoffs. They're led by a quarterback. I mean, you have to have good quarterback play. If they come back next year with a great culture, with a great team, and their quarterback plays like he did this year, then they're going to have a problem. The record won't be much better. So they're going to need much better play from Carson Wentz next year. And if they can get that, they can fix Carson Wentz, then you start talking about the other positions and trying to figure out how to get those other positions to work. But number one, it starts with the quarterback and fixing the issues that Carson has faced throughout this past season.
Brian, playing quarterback in the city of Philadelphia can at times be a complicated relationship. We've seen that with Carson Wentz and what he went through as Nick Foles went on, helped this team win a Super Bowl when Carson Wentz was out with injury. You play with a guy in Brian Westbrook who got booed on, or excuse me, you play with a guy in Donovan McNabb. You are Brian Westbrook. You play with a guy in Donovan McNabb who got booed on draft night, who at times was someone who was talked about very negatively in that city. I'm curious from your standpoint as a teammate in that spot, what are the unique challenges that come with being the face of the franchise in a city like Philadelphia?
Well, the people in Philadelphia, number one, they want to see success, and Donovan certainly had success there in Philly. And despite being booed on draft day, despite some of the personality differences between the fans and Donovan, he had a bunch of success. You talk about 5 NFC Championship games, a perennial Pro Bowler. As well as a Super Bowl. So he had success there in Philadelphia, but they also want your personality to kind of match theirs. And their personality in Philly is as hard workers, which Donovan was, but they kind of are like the underdog story. And being drafted high, the high expectations that Donovan had didn't really match up with some of the things that the people in Philadelphia thought were, you know, what they wanted in the quarterback. But to me, as a teammate, you can't argue with success. You know, it doesn't necessarily matter your story to me. As long as you go out there and you work hard and you're dedicated and you're doing everything you can to be successful, the story doesn't matter. I just want to win football games. And I think the people in Philadelphia should continue to focus on that, not necessarily what the quarterbacks do and their personality, those things. The most important thing is wins. And I think Donovan brought a lot of wins. And to that end, Carson brought a lot of wins as well. He just didn't look very good this season, and he has to find a way to fix that.
Brian, we've only got about a minute left here, but I am curious, Brian Westbrook with us here on Chinne and Golic Jr., is there any coaching candidate out there right now in the market that's available that you think would make a good fit for this Philadelphia Eagles team?
Well, I mean, I certainly think that Eric Bieniemy, it should be at the top of the list, and based upon what they've been able to do out there in Kansas City with Andy Reid. I continue to hear the name Brian Daboll thrown around a little bit, Arthur Smith as well. I mean, the coach, as they go through this search, is certainly going to have to figure out who is the guy that can fix Carson Wentz. And Jeffrey Lurie, the owner, wants a high-powered offense. So I'm sure it's going to be an offensive coach, but they have to be a guy that can fix Carson Wentz. That's going to be the biggest task in the offseason.
It certainly is, and a task that now gets started for the Eagles after making the announcement they fired their head coach, Doug Peterson, today. Brian, we really appreciate the time and the insight into this team, and hopefully we'll get to talk to you soon in the future under better circumstances.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you. Take care.
Brian Westbrook with us here again, 2-time Pro Bowler for the Philadelphia Eagles. on Chinne Engolo Jr. All right, coming up next, Chinne, we'll switch gears to a player that got over the mountaintop that Carson Wentz wasn't able to. A former MVP still having to answer questions about his performance. But did he finally silence critics this weekend? We'll get to that next. It's Chinne Engolo Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinne Engolo Jr., the podcast.
In a game where they started John Wofford and ended with their starter, who also had pins in his thumb and every challenge in between, the Rams found a way to get past the Seahawks. It's Chinne Engolo Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinne Agumake. They are one of the many teams that got a chance and got through Super Wild Card Weekend that we got going off. And for more on everything that we saw over this unprecedented expanded Wild Card Weekend in the NFL, we're delighted to be joined now on the Goodyear Hotline by former NFL defensive back Aqib Talib with us here now, five-time Pro Bowler and Super Bowl champion. Aqib, how are you, man? We appreciate the time today.
I'm pretty good. I appreciate y'all having me on.
No, man, and it's so fascinating to look at this weekend. First off, an expanded wild card weekend in the NFL. You were around this league for a long time. You're calling games now. What were your thoughts on just the idea of expanding the postseason, getting seven teams involved as opposed to six?
It was dope. I know from a fan perspective now, just being able to, you know, wake up on Saturday, watch football all day, same thing on Sunday. So I loved it, you know, from a fan perspective. I think it was a good idea. It would have been a great idea if it was really fans there, you know what I'm saying? So I think it was a great idea. Great play by the NFL.
Yeah, and it's really funny because we started the segment. I know you were sort of bopping because you heard that L.A. vibe. I'm currently in Los Angeles. We're talking about the Rams taking down the Seahawks on the strength of their defense, and that was one of the final teams that you played for, Aqib. And, you know, also on the broadcast, we also heard that Aaron Donald was talked about pretty much as being one of the greatest, if not the greatest, defensive players in NFL history. What did you make of that take?
Man, Troy Aikman said that. I actually watched the game, and I heard Troy say that. And that's big, and it's the truth. He's probably the best player who I played with, and I played with Von Millers and great players, man, Will Folks. I played with great players, you know what I'm saying? So Aaron Donald was probably the most dominant player I played with, like just, you know, run past every single play. And that don't take nothing away from the other guys, but it's the truth. So when Troy said it was news, but, you know, it don't surprise me that much.
Aqib Talib with us here on Chinne Engolo Jr. And that's certainly not a surprise. What about on the other side of the ball? We mentioned Jared Goff, the starting quarterback, having to come off the bench in this game, still nursing the thumb injury that had him sidelined to begin with. How surprised with you were that effort? With what you know about Jared Goff, was that any shock to see him come in and perform the way he did?
Well, I know he got heart. You know that. I never questioned JG heart. So him to, you know, take that injury and, you know, do whatever he can do, he's going to do it. You know, for him to do that don't surprise me. But the way he threw the ball, the way he played, that surprised me because it's hard. That's hard. You know, your thumb has a lot to do with how you hold the football. It has a lot to do with you playing football, period, taking the snap and everything, you know. So how well he did control the ball and threw the ball around a little bit, he did. That surprised me. But as far as him, you know, thugging it out and playing with the messed up thumb 10 days out of surgery or whatever, 11 days out of surgery, that don't surprise me at all.
Yes, you said it right there, Aqib Talib, former NFL defensive back, five-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champion here with us on Chinne Engolo Jr. on ESPN Radio. And you said it, thugging it out. And another team did that. And I'm talking about the Cleveland Browns, okay? Talking about overcoming challenges. The Browns, they finally get this huge win. They get the proverbial monkey off of their back versus the Steelers. And guess who you get next? You get Patrick Mahomes and company. How impressed were you of Myles Garrett and their defense being able to step up to that challenge?
Their defense played well. Their defense, they knew what to expect. You know, a division opponent like that, you know what to expect. And Joe Woods did a great job just giving him what he was going to give him and taking away what he wanted to take away. So, man, I know about Joe Woods. That was my defensive coordinator for a few years and probably the best defensive back coach that I had in my career. So I know what he's capable of, man. He had a great game plan. He stuck to his guns the whole game. And that was a great performance by that defense.
I'm curious, sticking with, you know, great players, especially around that division. We know the AFC North is such a hot button division for so many people. A lot of heated rivalries. Lamar Jackson this weekend got his first playoff win. And I'm curious for you, how much do you think was warranted that talk of Lamar Jackson not being able to win the big game going into this weekend?
I mean, it was true. It was true. If the media is going to talk about what's in the pudding, you know what I'm saying? The stuff that they could prove, the stuff that you can get on the radio or your TV shows and talk about. And Lamar ain't won the playoff game, so it was true. So he knew it was true, but he also knew he was 24, however old he is. He's 24 or whatever years old, and he just getting started. So he knew that's one thing. That was his next step, his next challenge that he had to overcome. And him being Lamar, he did that.
And he found a way to get through, and you're right. Now another challenge awaits in the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen and what they're going to have to go with that team. Akeem, we appreciate your time and insight. For you, the new challenge, I know you're getting into the booth now calling games. It's been fun to hear, man. So continued success with that and everything else that you've got going on. And I'm sure we'll talk to you soon down the line, all right?
I appreciate it, guys.
Akeem Talib with us again, NFL defensive back, former NFL defensive back, appeared in the booth plenty during the course of this season. Again, one of those things, providing another great bit of insight that maybe looks and sounds a little bit different than what people are used to, but that I think Chinay now, as we have so many people watching football, is kind of a breath of fresh air for a bunch of people.
And I can't wait for you to provide insight tonight, because we've got a big one.
We do have a big one coming up, and coming up next, we will get to that one, the College Football Playoff National Championship. How familiar does this feel? A team from Ohio walking into a game that no one believes they can win. We'll try and figure out how they can win it next. We'll do that after this word from Indeed.
All right. So if you need to hire, you need Indeed. Paging Philly. Is it too soon for that? When you upgrade your job post, Indeed immediately delivers candidates from their resume database who fit your job criteria. Let Indeed sift through resumes so you can focus on selecting your top candidates. Indeed delivers 2.5 times more hires than other branded job sites combined, according to Breezy HR 2019. Now receive a $75 sponsored job credit when you post a job at Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Terms and conditions apply. Now, the title game is tonight. Bama, Ohio State, who has the edge? We've got you covered right after this. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I don't know if anyone's going to do the busted challenge at the College Football Playoff National Championship tonight, but there's only one way to find out. Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chinay Agwumike.
I know exactly how they can. I'm sorry. Continue.
How can they?
They do it pregame and postgame. You add in the trophy, like when you drop, pop, lock, and drop it.
That is true. And you know what? The youth are resourceful. Like, I didn't even know what TikTok Live was until today, and then I found out Steelers wide receiver Chase Claypool was out here still talking reckless about the Browns on TikTok Live. So maybe we could see that happen on this. You can see that on a number of different ways, by the way. Obviously, the playoff national championship going to be broadcast all over the place tonight. ESPN Megacast production going to give you 5 additional presentations across television networks, 6 more, including on the ESPN app, and a 4K feed to complete the Megacast, the College Football Playoff National Championship presented by AT&T. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Now, outside of the Busset Challenge on that, you can see up there myself, Jason Fitz, will be holding it down for you on the Skycam broadcast on ESPNU.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun. But, Chinay, what if I took – this is – as I look at the game tonight, Ohio State and Alabama, obviously, like, the all-name game, right? Like, if you're drawing up – I know a lot of people say, well, they just choose the teams that are going to rate well in all this. This is the first time since the original College Football Playoff in the semis that Alabama and Ohio State have met. I'll be very interested to see the rating of this game because it is two juggernaut name brands of this sport. This is wild to me.
Okay.
If Alabama loses the national championship tonight, if Ohio State manages to pull off the upset, no one can think that they do. This will be the longest championship drought in the Nick Saban era. 3 years. The longest drought in the Saban era of a national championship would be 3 years if they don't win tonight. Janae, that is what Ohio State is up against, that kind of historical precedent.
That is wild, because even when you put Ohio State and Clemson into the conversation, it feels like there's even a tier higher when it comes to Alabama. But hey, have no fear. I feel like we've learned that Mission Impossible can happen. It happened earlier yesterday when it came to, was it yesterday or Saturday? I can't remember. Whatever, the last 48 hours when it happened for the Browns, and now it potentially could happen in Ohio. But still, we all understand who the real underdogs are here.
Yeah, oh, Janae, there's no question. And you mentioned the Cleveland Browns are a great reminder in this, because we should all get nerved out anytime we're in sports talking about one thing is the only outcome. And so many of us sat here and talked about the Steelers-Browns and said, yep, there's no way the Browns can win with all these current circumstances. And the same people are looking at Ohio State right now saying, well, Justin Fields, beat up ribs, whatever it is. We never heard a report coming off the last game about what that injury sustained on that hit with Clemson linebacker James Skalski was, but we all saw him get crumpled in that game. We know not everything is right. We heard the rumblings in the shade throw by Nick Saban's daughter about whatever was going on behind closed doors with Ohio State. But they're going to play this game, Chiney, and that's the ultimate wild card going into it now. And it's the ultimate reason why most everyone is going to pick Bama, because we just can't predict, can Justin Fields' body withstand this yet again the way he did miraculously in that semifinal game?
And normally when we talk college football, we always do tell me why. But you are absolutely right, Michael Luke Jr., because health is the wild card. We also, the visual of Justin Fields getting on the Aerodyne bike. For those who don't know what the Aerodyne bike is, it's a bike that has like wind in it that reverts, like works contra to what you actually want to do with the bike.
A lot of people call it the assault bike. Yeah.
Assault bike. Yes, it assaults you all the time. It's a resistance bike. And we saw his face even just getting onto the bike. Health is the wild card. On the other side, though, when it comes to Alabama, health is the wild card as well, especially when it comes to Jalen Waddle. Can you sort of explain to me where we stand? Because I saw that he began practicing this past week, and I think the verbiage is he's likely to play. How could this be the wild card factor that sets an already good offense completely over the edge?
Yeah, last time on Dragon Ball Z, for everyone that remembers early on in this season for Alabama, Jalen Waddle was the one that most people were enamored with there. Guy with unbelievable speed, that fractured ankle became an issue, and that's when we saw Devontae Smith really take this leap, and with the bullseye on his back, went out there and blew people away. Now you're going to tell people that after Devontae Smith went on and won the Heisman, and along the way we've met guys like John Mechie on that team who came up from the practice squad with Mac Jones and knew him like that, we've seen their tight end room start to shine, that you could potentially get him back out there. And Shanae, it doesn't need to be at 100%. If you've got Jalen Waddle out there in any capacity, this offense that with Mac Jones, Najee Harris, and Devontae Smith that already looked perfect, that has the Joe Moore Award winning offensive line, the best offensive line in college football, they looked like the perfect weapon. And Jalen Waddle out there almost wouldn't seem fair. It's already a game where, because of Alabama's prowess, you're going to have to hope for them to make mistakes along the way. That hope might turn to prayer if Waddle was out there also.
But you know, who would be in the leadership position there with the decision-making? It's going to be, you know, in the pocket, Mac Jones. And when you think about this
who?
Matchup, though, huh?
I'm just kidding. Mac Jones.
Oh. Who Mac Jones?
It was close enough, and we had a linebacker named Mike Jones on Clemson, and I am not one to ever pass up that opportunity. I saw Lamar Jackson.
So mad.
Lamar Jackson did it in a press conference with one of the reporters, so I'm just trying to hold up the standard of Mike Jones references in 2020.
I'm so mad because your girl's from Houston. I should have got that. When you said who, I was like, wait, Mac Jones. I love that. So mad at myself. But you know what's funny? Because when we're talking about underdogs, everyone clearly thinks Ohio State, unless you're in Ohio, is the underdog in this situation. But I think it's funny because a lot of people say, well, from the quarterbacks, I'm actually taking Justin Fields to have a better day if he's healthy. How do you rate those people, Junior?
It is so funny, Chiney. You're right. If we were to do one of those maps of the U.S. where they had who everyone picked to win, the state of Ohio would be scarlet and the rest of the country would be crimson. And it would be a very hard map to read because those are both red tangent and it would be kind of a difficult go at it. But Chiney, you're right. They're understandably underdogs. But I'm looking up here, and Jesse Palmer and Joey Galloway and Matt Berry are all down there in South Beach holding it down for us, and they're doing a position
invite.
Yeah, I honestly like kind of got lost in the mail there. We cover college football on this show. Let us be great. But while they're not letting us be great, I saw all of them doing the position by position matchup on this one, and when it came down to it, they got to the quarterback and they said Justin Fields, Justin Fields, Justin Fields.
Yep.
The advantage in that spot. And Shanae, I think it's a reminder that You know as well as anybody, it takes a while to figure out who you are in the body of a given season, right? You start every year, and because of turnover, whether it's free agency at the pro level or in the college level, the turnover that happens every year is the start of a new team, and it takes you a while to figure that out. Ohio State had, very famously, six regular season games that they went through where they dealt with a bunch of players lost because of COVID-19, where they dealt with a bunch of difficulties in that situation that meant we weren't getting a real, normal, gradual crescendo to the team you normally are at the end of the season. Maybe they're finding that now because we know talent-wise they're always going to be tangent to these top teams. They're right there staring eye-to-eye with Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State in the way they recruit. But, man, we saw things we hadn't seen all year against Clemson. And I jokingly said, Chinee, maybe they had just been going out there with base install against the rest of the Big Ten that they knew they could beat and then showed up and dusted off the fine china when they came out here to host Clemson. And that could spell something for Alabama in this spot. But, Chinee, there's just so much unknown about Ohio State because of a lot of those factors.
Yep. You know who else is very tangent to those top teams but not there yet?
Who's that?
Notre Dame.
Come on, man. What is this now? So we have the runner up. By the way, let me say that again loud. The runner up of the Bachelorette, Tyler Cameron, on with us last week, slandering the good name of Notre Dame, and now you're going to join in on this, Janae. This is where you really want to be.
Your girl's not a number one. A runner up in life. Okay, so like I'm number one. I wouldn't understand what that situation feels like.
I mean, you also wouldn't understand what being in the college football playoffs like either. Being a Stanford alum.
Oh, well, it's okay. Your girl was too busy in Final Fours. How many did you go to? I went to three. How many? Playoff?
We just did the final two, all right? I went there once. We don't need to talk about the result, okay?
Okay. All right.
Listen, neither of us won a championship.
Yeah, we got to be the last one to talk, okay?
So neither
Alabama for you, UConn for me. We're even.
Exactly.
Really,
you know what?
Yeah.
We both ran into all-time great forces in this situation. The Alabama dynasty that still reigns right now and a UConn team that has been a perennial superpower. Forget just in women's college basketball, in the world of sport, and certainly out here in the Northeast. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Check more of that at progressive.com. All right. We've got more to get to here, including the one team in the NFL that manages to keep stealing headlines. And this year, it's not the Cowboys. We'll get to all of that after this word from Body Armor. All right, start your new year off right. Commit to your fitness goals and let Body Armor Lite help you achieve them. Body Armor Lite, low-calorie sports drink that's going to hydrate your active lifestyle, whether you are getting ready for an upcoming WNBA season or to be a sports talk radio gas bag, like your boy. It has no artificial sweeteners, no sugar added, and only 20 calories per 16-ounce bottle. Whatever your goals might be, Body Armor Lite is keeping you hydrated during your workouts and your busy day. From now till April 30th, if you buy $20 of any Body Armor product, you're going to earn $10 in fitness cash towards select fitness retailers nationwide. Learn more at bacommittofit.com. That's bacommittofit.com. Where do the Eagles go from here? Back after this, Janae Angolik Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae Angolik Jr., the podcast.
All right, I heard someone sneak the Bears in there. We don't have to get crazy with better teams. It's Janae Angolik Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You can check us out on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPN Plus, your smart speakers, all of that good stuff.
Everywhere.
Mike Golick Jr., Chinee Agwumike. We are everywhere. We're everywhere all at once. Follow us at Chinee and at Mike Golick Jr. on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. And also download, subscribe, rate, and review the Chinee and Golick Jr. podcast wherever you get your podcast. Now, Chinee, there's a lot to discuss here because what we've seen happen has been pretty amazing. Every time we think we're going to get to other NFL headlines, like the Cleveland Browns winning a playoff game, which is a thing that really happened this weekend in the last 24 hours. Every time we think we're going to get to conversations about incredibly talented young quarterbacks like Deshaun Watson, who, according to reports from our own Adam Schefter and Chris Mortensen, is incredibly ticked off with what's going on around that organization. Like when the quote is that one source said, according to Adam Schefter, that after Houston traded Pro Bowl wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins last offseason, Deshaun Watson's anger was at a 2. This time it's at a 10. This should probably be leading off with things. But instead, We are back here yet again, Chiney, reporting today about the Philadelphia Eagles, this time for firing their head coach, Doug Peterson, after a season where they dominated headlines despite winning 4 football games.
Like, make it make sense. Wasn't that the theme that we were going to say today, especially when the Eagles inserted themselves into the conversation? Make it make sense. Now, I understand accountability has to be held, especially when it comes to figuring out the way, the direction that the franchise is moving, but that money, when it comes to Carson Wentz and his deal, tethered him for the foreseeable future, if that is even just an offseason, to Philly. And now we're seeing the results of that. So, yeah, we should be talking about the – no, actually, I don't even want to talk about my Houston Texans.
Well, too late for that, Chiney, because now we've walked in here. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and we are going to do just that.
Really? Really, Cliff? You're going to – I talk about the Eagles. You're going to put the sound like, oh, we're not the only ones in the gutter right now? Okay, I see what you're doing.
You guys are a couple of messy football teams right now is what you are. The Philadelphia Eagles. Trying to make decisions for their future based on Carson Wentz. Meanwhile, in just amazing, Howie Roseman's getting ready to hire his fourth head coach as a GM, which is incredible. Seems impossible. But while all that is happening, again, what we're hearing right now about Deshaun Watson is unbelievable. Chris Mortensen, our great ESPN NFL insider, was on Sunday and tweeted, "Reports about Deshaun Watson's unhappiness with the Texans are accurate. And sources close to the quarterback say he's still angry about the team's insensitivity towards social justice, including hiring practices after the franchise failed to interview Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy." Because we remember, the Houston Texans were the only team in the NFL to not request or interview Eric Bieniemy. Now, Chiney, Chris Mortensen, again, went on game day this weekend on ESPN Radio and talked about if this relationship could be fixed. Is it salvageable at this point? Here's what he had to say.
What's interesting is that we have an offseason where, because of the pandemic still, we may not have a normal offseason. So, you know, him not showing up for something wouldn't necessarily be that much different than what last year was, except it's going to be what? A new head coach in place. And so I think that the head coach piece is a big piece, but I won't say it can't be repaired. But I will say that we should not be surprised if this story has strong legs that end up with some type of deal in which Watson goes elsewhere.
Now, Chris Mortensen went on to say sources said Watson could play hardball with the Texans about a trade. His new $156 million contract has a no trade clause, but informed speculation from a source is that he would consider the Miami Dolphins, in which Tua Tagovailoa and additional compensation goes to Houston. So, Chiney.
Oh, that's funny. The Dolphins, the same place where we lost our picks. Like, where's the value? It's
apparently there are takebacks.
Oh, there are takebacks. Look, this is my problem that we have right here. We literally just had Brian Westbrook in the Eagles Hall of Fame join us. And he said, who's my number one pick that could help us? Eric Bieniemy. Who's the number one franchise that didn't choose to interview him at the behest of your quarterback who just signed 4 months ago a new contract extension that said, literally just listen to me and we can move things forward. We can stay positive. Oh, my goodness. I don't understand how the incompetence just seems to happen and keep cycling back over and over. But, yeah, again, I told you, like, this is not good. We've been on the quarterback carousel, and it seems like it's just ticking back up again. Okay, sorry.
But you know where Bieniemy's headed to, though, Chiney?
No,
the 215,
no,
baby.
No.
Let's go.
He needs to stay in the 281. No, the 713. Bye. Bye, Cliff.
It is amazing to think about what's going to happen here, the decisions that
I'm
are going to govern the future of these franchises, the Eagles likely pursuing a head coach that's going to cater towards its quarterback and fixing that offense. And Houston, again, trying to find a way to not ruin the best thing about their organization. All fascinating to keep track of. But coming up next, we had a first in the NFL because of this season. We'll tell you what that is next here on Chiney and Golic Jr.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.